Let's take our Bibles and open them to Acts 22. No, excuse me, Acts 17. I'd like to read you about something that happened in one of Brother Gus's favorite places. It was in the city of Athens. I think he likes Thessalonica too. Anything in Greece, but... Do you remember what happened in Athens in Acts 17? The Apostle Paul ended up in Athens, and he was there alone. Oh, there were lots of people there, but his friends weren't there with him yet, and he was waiting for them. And it says that as he was there in Athens, he saw some things that really disturbed him. In verse 18, while Paul was waiting for them, that is, for his brethren to join him, Silas and Timothy were coming. But while he was waiting, his spirit was provoked within him, as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicureans and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this.' So Paul went out from their midst, but some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them." Damaris and others with him. I guess Dionysius was part of this group that he was addressing. And as you can tell, or as you heard, Paul spoke about God. And I just wanted to call your attention to this passage very briefly. I'll tell you why. It was the reading for our devotion for today. The first day of the period, we had a devotional throughout this season on the Apostles' Creed, and we broke it up into little sections, and today's section was, "I believe in God the Father Almighty," maker of heaven and earth. And the scripture reading that we chose to go along with this was Acts 17:22-31, what Paul said in Athens about God. You see, in Athens they had many idols, as we read, and when Paul was looking around at the idols and the altars, he saw one with this writing on it, "To the unknown God." And that struck him and gave him a good way to start off his sermon. To the unknown God. Here's the living, the true God, the one God, the only God. I have to tell you about him. You don't know him. Everyone worships something, and you're worshiping, but you don't know the true and living God, and I'm going to preach him to you. I'll proclaim him to you. And he taught them about God and wonderful things about God. You heard what he said, how great God is, and how he is the source of all things. And he brought in his call, his command to repent and to turn to Jesus Christ, the Savior, who was raised from the dead. And only a few responded to that, believing in Jesus. But our first paragraph here, our first phrase or line, sentence, whatever you'd call it, of this Apostles' Creed is, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And he talked about how God made everything, how great God is, and our responsibility, our obligations toward God. And he said, God commands everyone, all everywhere, to repent. Now, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe that we ought to look at the Apostles' Creed during these last days also a little bit. I don't know that we'll follow and do something in every meeting. I'm not sure. We want to follow the Lord's leading, but I believe we'll try to get through the Apostles' Creed before the end of the season next Monday. But this first one, just for tonight, I hope this goes deeply into your hearts. There's so much to think about. We don't have time tonight to spend on it, but you do. You can think about it. We won't take the next thing till Monday, okay? Or maybe Sunday night. I believe in God the Father. And we took readings also. Maybe I could point out, there are some of these booklets around if anybody's interested. We took readings written by a man named Samuel Stone, who did a little study or a pamphlet, I think you could call it, on the Apostles' Creed. And he is the author of the hymn that perhaps you sometimes sing, "The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, Her Lord." And what he says about this phrase, I just like to read, "I believe that there is a God, and that there is but one God." That's, I believe in God. I believe that there is a God, and that there is but one God. And now, the Father, that he is the Father of all things and of all men, more peculiarly of those adopted in his Son. That means especially those who are adopted in Christ. But more eminently, even more greatly, still, the Father of his own only begotten Son. So that's what he says about the fact that God is the Father. He's the Father of all, in one sense, but he's the Father of all who have believed in Jesus. In Galatians 3, we read, "We are all the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And then he is the Father of his only Son. He is almighty, because his dominion is infinite, both as regards eternality of duration and power of operation and authority, and that as before all things there was nothing but God, so out of nothing he produced all things. I'm sure you got that now. Before all things there was nothing but God, so out of nothing he produced all things. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. Maybe we could say that together. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. Paul, preaching in Athens, quoted one of the poets, one of the philosophers, who said, "We are indeed his offspring." We read that also in the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? That speaks about what we call the universal fatherhood of God. But both of those quotations, the one in Malachi and the one in Acts 17, which we read, come from passages that threaten judgment, divine judgment. You can look them up and see that. So as Paul preaches this evangelistic sermon at Athens, what he's doing is proclaiming the obligation to seek after God, to worship the one true God, to obey him and be answerable to him, for we all shall be at the end of the day. It doesn't imply that he favors everyone or accepts everyone where there's no repentance for past sins and no faith in Christ. But we know something else about God, and we mentioned it before, that he has many sons and daughters. We like to sing about Father Abraham, or I've heard, he has many sons, right? I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. How did we become children of Abraham? Through faith in Christ Jesus. We're all children of God. He's the Father of the faithful. And there's something different, so different about that. When we can know God in that way, Jesus is the one who introduced us to God as Father. And Jesus declared that relationship. The Son loves the Father always, pleases the Father. He taught these things to his disciple. His disciples, the Son doesn't take any initiatives. He depends on the Father for his lead, his guidance. But he certainly knows the Father's will and does the Father's will. Not as I will, but as you will. Your will be done. Shall I not drink the cup that my Father gave me? And then we read that the Father loves the Son, and the Father makes him great by giving him glory and giving him great things to do, things that only he could do. And he gives life and he executes judgment. These are tasks that are entirely committed to him. And it's such a wonderful thing to know that we have been adopted into the family of God as we have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the teaching of the New Testament. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to all those who believe on his name. And what a wonderful thing also to be able to say, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, my Creator is my Father, my Savior's Father, and my own Father. Through him, a Father who now loves me no less than he loves his only Son. That's quite a mouthful, but that's what the Bible says. And that's a wonderful thing to know. When you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, those aren't just words. That's something that's soul-stirring. I believe in God, my Father, the Father Almighty, who made heaven and earth. And that he's almighty means that there's nothing too hard for him. But it means that He can do and he will do everything that he intends to do. He will carry out his purpose. And his purpose for his sons and daughters is that they should all share in what their elder brother enjoys. That's marvelous. That's tremendous. Believers in Jesus are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We'll suffer, but we're not going to miss the glory. The Father Almighty, he's almighty, and he'll see to that. Praise his holy name. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And we won't go on to maker of heaven and earth tonight, I see. I said 9 o'clock, so... But just think about this. You could think about it overnight. I believe. It's good to say that. I like the creeds because it's good to say it. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. He's such a great God, and we want to worship him in these days and get to know him better. And, of course, the Apostles' Creed is about the Trinity. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and we believe in the Holy Spirit, and we're so thankful to know this great God, who I guess we could say his Christian name is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we worship him. So let's stand. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul. Hallelujah, great God, we want to know you better, Lord. Hallelujah. We want to love you more and serve you better and be all for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And let us go in the name of Jesus. The priest of the Old Testament, it says, when he prayed that prayer, he put the name of the Lord upon the people. Hallelujah. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are your people and that your name is upon us. And we go in this confidence. We go in peace and we go in joy. Thankfulness to you. Amen. Amen. I wish that the staff would stay behind for just a few minutes.